That's okay. I've got just the right thing for you. KKUT 90.3.
In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Where are we?
What's happening?
It's dark in here.
I can't see anything.
Is there anybody out there who wants to talk to me?
I think I see the moon.
3, 2, 1.
This is Radio Moon.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Every third Thursday of the month, the Radio Moon Collective brings you an hour of radio from 2 to 3 p.m., created by people living a full life with mental health issues. And as the Canadian Mental Health Association informs us, mental illness affects people of all ages, educational and income levels, and cultures. Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2021.
Radio Moon is a program that comes out of Ford House, a community-based mental health organization. We use art, comedy, poetry, interviews, discussion, stories, news, music, and radio dramas to present the many faces and realities of mental health. Most importantly, we have fun and learn the art of science of radio. We would love to hear your voice too. Feel free to send us an email to fordhouse.education@gmail.com. We love to hear your feedback, perspectives, and thoughts.
Today on Radio Moon, we will focus on the theme of math. Math is everywhere. Math is everything. Math is life. Whether you love it or you hate it, we're going to talk about it. Let's kick off the show with a roundtable discussion with the whole Radio Moon crew about their different experiences with math and how it has shaped their lives. Let's take a listen. Welcome to the Radio Moon Roundtable. I'm your host, Nikki, and I'm here with Noelle, Peter, and Catherine, who today we'll call Mathrin. Because today we're diving into the world's most controversial topic, math. I find with math, either you love it or you hate it. People have really strong opinions about math. So today we're going to check in with the Moon crew to hear about their thoughts and experiences with this subject. Let's get started. So, gang, what attracts you to mathematics and what do you find repels you from it?
I love math. The only thing that it's interesting, I'm great at understanding formulas. And the one thing that repels me is I'm way bad on just basic, like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. I always miss, I'm always off by a couple of points. I'm always just mess up with the figuring, but I love math anyway. I do it anyway.
I love math when it's going good and the ones that I can understand, I love. But I don't like when the math gets too complicated.
I remember reading somebody saying that they enjoyed math until they started putting the alphabet into it.
How could they do that to algebra?
Yeah, that's it.
Algebra is personally one of my favorites. It's like a fun puzzle.
I'll be honest, I love all math.
Okay, so it seems like we have some math fans in the house, which is cool. Did you guys like math as children when you were growing up? In math class, did you enjoy it? Did you find it boring?
As a kid, I wasn't particularly interested. And when it hit algebra, when I was an adolescent, then I got intrigued.
I liked math when I was a child, but I could tell a short story was writing down the math problems, but my eyesight wasn't too good. So I got the right answers, but there were the wrong numbers. So the teacher called in my mother and said, your son probably needs glasses. So that was funny.
Because I have a fairly good memory. I really enjoy the timetables. I picked up quickly on it, and I was good at it, so that helped. And it wasn't too much of a problem until, like that guy said, when they started throwing letters in it.
Yeah, a lot of us like math until it gets too complicated, and then it gets frustrating, eh? Do you guys ever use math in your daily life?
Sure, especially during my career as a nurse, I used math a lot. I needed it in pharmaceuticals and stuff. You know, I use it a lot. So it's good being quick to do that. Also, I play board games with friends, and sometimes we have to figure out things, and I can do it way quicker than them, even though they're way smarter at playing the game than I am. I'm quicker at the numbers.
Yeah, I like using math. I use math when I go to the groceries. That's when I have a checkup counter. That's when I get up and use my math.
This year I have to use math to organize my Christmas gifts. Putting together little booklets with some paintings and poems. So I need to calculate. I had to use math to figure out how many sheets to cut out of the paper to stick them together. That's all. And of course I use math when I take a course in math at Forward House.
Yeah, we do have a lot of fun in that math class. In that math class, we started out thinking it was going to be about using math in your everyday life, but then because the people at Forward House were actually so into math, we just went wild, and now we do all kinds of math, eh? We do algebra, geometry, graphing. Sometimes it's completely abstract and has nothing to do with real life, but it's so fun, so we do it. But that's a good point, Catherine, that you have to use math when you're doing crafts, arts, to calculate, paper size, things for art projects and that kind of stuff. What do you guys think about this question? Do numbers ever lie?
Actually, they say statistics is an inaccurate science. They'll give you an approximate answer, but it's not 100% reliable.
You have an approximation that's used when you're dealing with numbers. So that could give you a close outlook on what the number that you're trying to get.
What's your favorite weird, fun statistic?
In Robert Heinlein's Lazarus Long's journals, he did a thing where they said that statistics are what you take out of them. He said that, did you realize that the average person, the average Canadian has one testicle and one ovary? That meaning that statistic averages are a convenient way to deal with large numbers of things, but the average itself is an imaginary thing. It's just there to work on, but there's no such thing as somebody who's average.
It's strange. I remember all sorts of strange statistics. In the 90s, by the time of the late 90s, about 70% of North America was interested in becoming pet enthusiasts. Remember pet enthusiasts? They used to buy like fighter fish and hold them in a tiny little container, and seahorses that would die after like 2-3 days, and there was about 70% of North America was intrigued with pet enthusiasm. It's a sad statistic. It's really sad. I really feel for those animals.
Speaking of statistics, there is 2% of the NCAA students who graduate go on to professional level.
I read the book Freakonomics, and it was about an economist who came up with insights into things that nobody else had. He's the one that stated that 20 years after they passed the Roe versus Wade, they said you can have free abortions, that the amount of violent crimes dropped drastically. Because at the time, the naysayers were thinking, you know, like, society is getting more and more violent, and then contrary to that, the violent crimes just dropped. And they did the statistics, and it was because of the access to abortions.
It's very sad. In the 90s, about 80% of five-year-old African-American children had lost both parents 5 years old.
Wow, these are some good statistics, everyone. Do you guys just keep these in your brain at all times, or they stick with you, or?
Numbers can do that.
Yeah, some statistics are so powerful, they hit you and they stick. Okay, thanks everyone for participating in this month's roundtable. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Our first song is One is the Loneliest Number by Three Dog Night. It was written by Harry Neeson, and the rhythm for the song came from a telephone busy signal that was pestering him for quite some time. Let's take a listen.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
This is Radio Moon News with the latest report from Sesame Street. Some of the Muppets have begun to rebel against psychiatry. Big Bird, it has been discovered, has been vomiting up his counting sedation medications and secretly counting. The law is, on Sesame Street, not to count above 3, but Big Bird actually counts to 25. His psychiatrists are exasperated. For Radio Moon News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you, Catherine. Next up on Radio Moon, we have Peter, who will share a story about how he persevered through math class despite some difficulty. Take it away, Peter.
This is my story of my epic struggle with Calculus 1 that I took 4 times. I have a checkered past with mathematics. In grade 9, I made a decent mark in geometry but failed algebra. I repeated the course in grade 10, only to fail again. Meanwhile, I took 10-11 geometry and got a good grade. In grade 11, I was put into a high school leaving stream. It consisted of 1 year of geometry and another of algebra. I was put in the geometry course. The teacher realized that my geometry knowledge was ahead of what the class would cover. So we made an agreement that he would get me started on 10-11 algebra and help me while the rest of the class was busy with their geometry work. By springtime, I was partway into the grade 11 part of the course. I sat for the provincial exam. I got 55%. The pass mark back then was 50%. Yay, I thought. The next year, I went into Dawson College in Social Sciences. First term, I took functions. The course was half trigonometry and half functions. Trig was geometry on steroids. Functions was more algebra. I passed due to my grade of 94% in trigonometry with a 74%. On to Challenge Calculus 1. It became rapidly apparent that I didn't have a clue, so I dropped the course. I tried another time with no greater success, only to drop it too. The third time, I was so dispirited that I never bothered to drop it and failed. My father hired one of the high school teachers to tutor me in algebra. It must have worked because when I took Calculus 1 for my fourth time, my final mark was in the 80s. Even though I wasn't required to, I took Calculus 2 just to prove that I wasn't a total nudge at math. My mark was in the 70s. I had finally beat my math monster.
And now for another Radio Moon News Flash. It was discovered yesterday that the Sesame Street Rebellion is multiplying. Several Muppets insist on counting. Snuffy has been counting to 10, and Ernie, who was confined to the hospital, confessed that he seriously intends to return to counting sheep when he is sent home. For Radio Moon News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you, Catherine and Peter, for those wonderful pieces. Who doesn't love pie? There's so much diversity in it. We have apple, cherry, rhubarb, even banana cream. Although we often forget about the constant pi, which is used in math as a symbol for 3.14. Let's take a listen to Pi from Kate Bush. This song describes a man with a complete infatuation with the calculation of pi.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You are listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's radio that's good for your mental health. Next up, here's Noelle. Noelle's going to share some fascinating statistics about all kinds of things you never knew you needed to know. Take it away, Noelle.
Hi, my name is Noelle, and today I have some weird statistics to read to you. Number one. The average drunk driver drives under the influence more than 80 times before being arrested the first time. Number two, fewer than 2% of NCAA student athletes go on to the professional level. Number three, one third of adults still sleep with a comfort object. Number four, the average American generates nearly 4.5 pounds of trash each day. Number five, over the past century, Michael has been the most popular male baby name 44 times. Number six, the global rate for washing hands after using the toilet is under 20%. Number seven, Americans read for personal interest for 10 minutes or less per day. Number eight, more than 36 million US adults cannot read above a third grade level. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM, CKUT.ca online. Thank you.
And now a Radio Moon news flash. 5 + 5 = 10. And now here is a Radio Moon news flash. 10 + 8 = 18. And now here is a Radio Moon news flash. 18 - 8 - 5 - 5 = 0.
Thank you to our traveling reporter, Catherine, and before that, to Noelle for sharing some math facts. Next up, we have Jerome. Do you know anyone with the same birthday as you? Well, according to Jerome, it's actually more common than you think. Let's find out why. Take it away, Jerome.
Hello, this is Jerome, and I will tell you about the classical birthday problem. The classical birthday problem maintains that if you have 23 or more distinct persons, the odds are greater than even that at least two of these 23 or more of these distinct persons have the same birthday. First, consider the odds that each of these 23 or more persons have distinct birthdays, one from the other. It can be shown that these odds are less than 1 to 1. Therefore, the odds of at least two persons of the 23 or more persons having the same birthday are greater than 1 to 1. The two add up to 100%. They are said to be complements of each other. Because there are only 365 days in the year, the odds of the 23 or more persons having a different birthday one from the other are less and less. For example, there are 365 ways of choosing the first person with his or her birthday, but then only 364 ways of choosing the second person because the first is not put back into the group. Then we proceed to the third distinct person, and there will be only 363 ways for him or her to be chosen, etc., etc. We call this way of choosing sampling without replacement, because once chosen, the group no longer contains that person with his or her birthday. Then there are 365 to the power of 23 or even more, this power being the number of people in the group. The number is the total number of possibilities. It is called sampling with replacement here because we mean take one out with his or her birthday and note the birthday and then put it right back into the group again. The odds of having 23 persons or more having distinct birthdays is, in this context, sampling without replacement, the first smaller number, divided by sampling with replacement, the second larger number. It is also known as the probability. The odds are less than 1 to 1, less than even, and the probability is less than 1 half. Therefore, for 23 or more distinct persons in a group, two or more have the same birthday, with the being the complement of the same persons having distinct birthdays, with greater than even odds or a probability of at least 1 half.
Thank you, Jerome. This next song is by Tom Lear, who is most famous for his funny, satirical songs. He began writing these hilarious songs while studying math in Harvard. His main mission was to entertain and amuse his friends during the really hard program that they were in. Let's listen to his funny song.
Counting sheep when you're trying to sleep, being fair. When there's something to share, being neat. When you're folding a sheet, that's mathematics. When a ball bounces off of a wall, when you cook from a recipe book, when you know how much money you owe, that's mathematics. How much gold can you hold in an elephant's ear? When it's noon on the moon, then what time is it here? If you could count for a year, would you get to infinity or somewhere in that vicinity? When you choose how much postage to use, when you know what's the chance it will snow, when you bet and you end up in debt, oh, try as you may, you just can't get away from mathematics. Tap your feet, keeping time to a beat of a song, while you're singing along, harmonize with the rest of the guys. Yes, try as you may, you just can't get away from mathematics.
Up next, we have Peter's piece on how to become a savant, or in his words, how to become an idiot savant. Let's listen to his tips and tricks on how he became one.
dazzling people with math shortcuts. This is my story of how I became a near-idiot savant. Before the internet was a thing, I got interested in the phenomena of savantism. I figured that since I was already an idiot, it would only be a short hop to idiot savant. So I learned some of the tricks that could be used to speed up calculations. One of my teachers at CEGEP, who was studying psychology, asked me if I would let her give me an IQ test for practice. I agreed. One of the questions was, if orange juice concentrate was $1.98 per can, how much would 13 cans cost? I answered, $25.74 in a flash. She was amazed that I came to the answer so rapidly. She asked if I had had this math problem before. I said, no, I just used a multiplication shortcut. I explained I just rounded $1.98 to $2, then multiplied 2 by 13 to get $26. Then I had added 2 cents to the price of 13 cans. I just figured 13 times 2 and got 26 cents. Then all that was left was to subtract that from $26. It was way simpler to multiply a 2-digit number by 2. I mean, the 2 times table, sheesh, then do the difference. Now with the internet, anyone can study up tricks to hyperboost everyday math problems. For instance, when doing percentage, sometimes it is quicker to swap it around. If you need to figure out 16% of 75, instead think, what is 75% of 16? The answer is obviously 12. 3/4 of 16. Easy, eh? So you too can become a near savant and amaze strangers and friends alike with your newfound mental agility.
That was Pocket Calculator by Kraftwerk. Up next, we have Ivana's piece on loving equations, but not loving math. So let's give her a listen.
J'ai un background en génie. Alors, je peux pas dire que c'est comme ça pour tous les ingénieurs, mais moi, je préfère de beaucoup les équations aux nombres. Les chiffres, là, c'est pas quelque chose qui m'intéresse. C'est leurs relations les uns entre eux pour décrire des phénomènes. Alors, je tripe sur les équations. Je me souviens que c'était vraiment, même avant ça, là, quand j'étudiais la science au secondaire puis au cégep, j'aimais les équations parce que c'est des descriptions d'une réalité. Et on essaie de décrire qu'est-ce qui se passe avec une équation. Quelque chose qui illustre bien mon intérêt là, puis ma passion pour les équations, surtout là, quand, à l'époque où j'étudiais le génie, c'est la fugue de Glenn Gould, So You Want to Write a Fugue. Parce que quand on l'écoute, on entend vraiment bien là, les quatre voix d'une fugue. C'est quatre personnes qui se moquent du compositeur qui essaie d'écrire sa fugue. Alors, c'est vraiment drôle, mais en même temps, on voit bien là, comment les voix de la fugue sont vraiment différentes les unes des autres, mais comment elles vont interagir ensemble. C'est complexe, puis en même temps, on est pas mal capable de suivre qu'est-ce qui se passe. Là, les motifs, je sais pas si c'est des motifs là, en musique, là, mais ils s'entrecroisent, ils commencent, ils finissent, on dirait qu'ils font des boucles, c'est comme de la dentelle. La dentelle dynamique. Alors, ça me rappelle comme les équations que j'utilisais, parce que c'est comme des descriptions de la réalité, là, de phénomènes qui changent, qui sont en mouvement. Là, il se passe quelque chose. Et puis, les équations essaient de le décrire.
So you want to write a fugue. You've got the urge to write a fugue. You've got the nerve to write a fugue. So go ahead.
So you want to write a fugue. You've got the urge to write a fugue.
Right,
the
joy,
the
joy,
the
joy,
the
joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
the joy,
Thank you, Ivana, for that piece. We just listened to So You Want to Write a Fugue by Glenn Gould. Get your credit cards out, everyone, because we have a sales pitch for you.
Here it is, the number you have all been waiting for. This is the best number between you and infinity. It is easy to count, easy to use, and you can take it everywhere. It looks cool, it sounds cool, and it is cool. It is the number 10. Believe me, everyone wants a chance to have the number 10, because it is a whole number, a round number, and a very, very, very convenient number. Yes, that's right, you can use 10 to count to 20, 30, or 40, or 50, 60, even into the 100s, thousands. 10 is an easy 100 to use. I use 10 every day. Just send me $100 and I promise to send you back a 10. It's an absolutely fair deal, guaranteed. No shopping hassle. Just call in and order a 10 for yourself. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You can use it to count apples, oranges, pears, any kind of fruit. You can use it to count the minutes before your bus comes. Just put it in front of a 100 and you would get a 1,000. That's 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just call me. My phone number is 987-654-3210 and get your very own 10.
I have my credit card out and I want to buy 10 of them. Up next, we have Iron Maiden, The Number of the Beast.
Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
I left alone, my mind was blank. I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind. What did I see? Could I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw in my old dreams were the reflections of my woman staring back at me. Cause in my dreams, it's always there. The evil face that twists my mind and brings me to despair. Holding back, cause I just have to see.
is another Radio Moon news flash. Psychiatrists have discovered that Telly Monster is feeling paranoia about not being able to ever count again. He complains that counting is his deepest pleasure in life and that he finds it difficult to face the future without any counting. For Radio Moon News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you, Catherine. And that's all for today's show, folks. We'll be back December 16th from 2 to 3 p.m. For more information on Radio Moon or Ford House, please visit www.fordhouse.org or call us at 514-488-9119. And don't forget to listen to us online at ckut.ca. We're going to finish off our show with Serena Ryder's Got Your Number.
You dumb, but it's too late, the trains are gonna come. You bought my love, you say you need my desire. You got $1 million, but you still can't buy it. Step 29 and the end has begun, but it's too late, the trains are gonna come. Love is blind, but now I see. I don't love you no more, I got 2020.
It's time to make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Somehow, somewhere you've lost your way. And if you don't get help quick, you won't make it through the day.
Could you call on Lady Day?
Can call on John Coltrane.
There was your trouble.
Trouble.
Troubles away.
Plastic people with plastic minds on the way to plastic homes.
No beginning, there ain't no end, and it's just on and on and on. Till our hero rising on his saxophone, yeah.
You can call on Lady Day.
Could you call on John Coltrane?
And then wash
the troubles,
troubles away. Yeah.
Because I always feel like...
Things them cannot afford. We need to be careful what we ask for, 'cause